It is important that we have the Holy Spirit to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, some people are saying that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer needed, or they're no longer in operation. And the reason they say that, one of the reasons they say that, is because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at the end of chapter 12, it talks about, I will show you a more excellent way. He talked about the gifts, and then he said, I'll show you a more excellent way. The more excellent way was in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which talked about love. Okay, so people are saying, well, you don't need the gifts because the more excellent way now is love. But I want us to look at something that's really important. And that's in, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I think it's verse number 1. If we could have that, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1 says, pursue love, but it says, and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So that argument that they have about the love being all you need, we know that's not true, right? Because 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 says that we should pursue love, but we also should desire spiritual gifts, that especially that we may prophesy. I want to just share with you tonight some basic things for prophecy. This is a basic understanding to get us started if we've never operated in prophecy before. This is some basic things to help us to get started. The book of Acts was a demonstration, I believe, of what God wanted the church to operate in or to look like, the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles. If you notice, all of the gifts of the Spirit were in operation in the book of Acts, and so he wants the church to operate in that same thing. And for each of us tonight, I think that it's so important and it's so powerful that we operate especially in this prophetic gift, the prophetic gift. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 through verse 3. We read verse 1. Can we get verse 2 and 3, please? Verse 2 and verse 3. And it says, for he that speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. This is speaking in tongues. Next verse, please. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Okay, now, let's look at the definitions for those words. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Just look at a little bit deeper than that. And I believe we have that slide. Edification, okay, I'll just read it off. Edification, edification means improvement. It also means elevation, enlightenment, and instruction. So when we speak to someone, we should speak to them for improvement, elevation, enlightenment, and instruction. That's edification. Exhortation is we speak for encouragement. We want to encourage them. It's also to advise, and exhortation means to incitement. And then comfort means relief, security, or well-being. So when we speak to someone, the simple gift of prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, if we look at Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18, Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18, and we want to see God has these special thoughts for us. He thinks of us very highly. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. I know I'm not going in the order that I have my scriptures, but I appreciate it. Okay, Psalm 139, verse 17 says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. The next verse. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Okay, now let's look at one more verse, and that is Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29, 11. Jeremiah 29 and 11. And it says, you don't have Jeremiah 29 and 11? Okay. Let's just read it then. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So God is, the thoughts that the Lord has toward us is to give us peace. He wants the very best, as I said, for us before. Now, when we prophesy, there are some things that we should do and some things that we shouldn't do. The first thing is that we should not give directional words. And a directional word would be, God has told me to tell you to quit your job. Okay, that's a directional word. If you're beginning in prophecy or in the prophetic, you should not give directional words. Now, later on, that's something that is for the office of the prophet. The office of the prophet, he does that. But we, just beginning in prophecy, we should not speak directional words. And we should also not give dates. We should not give mates and no babies. So we don't give dates. Now, God can do that. He can give you dates and say by a certain time something's going to happen at this date. But we shouldn't do that when we're beginning to understand what prophecy is really all about. Okay. Now, the Supernatural School of Ministry, they probably know all of this stuff. And the things that I'm sharing with you now is something that you probably already know. But we just want to stir you up and get you to think about what it is. Okay. We should always say, when we give a prophecy, we should always say, "I think," or I feel, or I think, or, "This is what I think," or, "Does that make sense to you?" When we give a prophecy, say, "Does that make sense to you?" "I feel that God is showing me that so-and-so is going to happen for you. Does that make sense to you?" Okay, and then if it doesn't, then it's okay, because, you know, you're just, You're actually encouraging, okay? Another thing we should do is we should always use humility. Always humility. It's always to be humble in what you do. Show the love of God when you're giving a prophecy. Think about the other person and always be humble in what you do. At the beginning, I would not say, "Thus saith the Lord." I wouldn't say to someone, "Thus saith the Lord, so-and-so," and tell you some prophecy or something. Because if that prophecy that you're giving may not line up with them, then you say, "Wait a minute, you said God said that." Okay, and so we don't want to do that at the beginning. Now, later on, when we become more proficient in hearing God's voice and hearing him speak to us, then maybe it's okay to do that. But we're talking about basics now, the very beginning. Another thing that we should do is, before giving an encouraging word to someone, we should try it on ourselves. Try that word on ourselves. In other words, say it to yourself as if someone is saying that to you, and see how it sounds to you. See if it makes sense to you or if it blesses you. We always want to bless. We always want to build someone up. We never want to put them down and make them feel bad or anything like that, because I know that God wants us to be encouraged. That's what prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy, is all about: edification, exhortation, and comfort. If we see areas in people's lives that need to be healed, we should speak the opposite. Okay, now let me kind of explain what I'm saying about that. In the training that we took, Graham Cook talked about being at a leadership meeting. And he was in this leadership conference, and there was a pastor or a leader there and the assistant leader. And God gave him a vision he showed him something about these two men. And Graham Cook saw the associate with the long knife, about a 2-foot knife, very sharp. And this man was stabbing the leader in the back. He was stabbing him in the back. And so Graham Cook says, Lord, you showed me that, but I mean, what's that all about? What do I do? So Graham Cook said he gave a prophecy to these two men, especially to the young man that was doing the stabbing in his back. He had them to come together. They came up, and he had them to stand back to back, one back to back. And he somehow found a broomstick that was near the pulpit. And he takes his broomstick, and he gives it to the young man that was doing the stabbing in the back in the vision. And he gave the prophecy that God is going to bless your ministry. You've been chosen to stand behind this leader. You've been chosen to bless him and to help him. You've been chosen to be a special partner to him. And I see doors opening up for your ministry. And I believe that the whole area is going to be blessed because you two men are going to work together. Complete opposite of what he saw, right? You see, the young man thought that he was a better leader than the older guy. He thought he was a better leader. So he was going around verbally stabbing this leader in the back. But Graham Cook said he didn't give him that prophecy. And he said as he did this to this man, he started to cry. And he said the Holy Spirit was really working on this young man. He started to cry. After the service was over, later on, he was sitting in a restaurant. He's sitting in this restaurant. And this young man walked up to him and said, say, I just have a word for you. He said, that was an awesome word you gave last night. He said, I really enjoyed that. He said, but I have to tell you something. Graham Cook held his hand up. He said, no. He said, let me tell you. What you want to tell me, was it this? He said, I saw you stabbing the leader in the back. And when I saw that, I was kind of disturbed about that. He said, so, but I couldn't say that. And so the guy started to cry. He said, you knew? He said, yes, I knew. God had showed me that. He said, but would you have been edified if I had told that to the congregation while you were standing there? Your reputation would have been destroyed. And all the people here would have looked at you in a different way. He said, so I didn't say that at that time. What I did was I built you up. I showed you that God really wants you two to work together. Awesome, isn't it? He gave him the exact opposite of what God has showed him because he used wisdom. Used wisdom. Now, that's one of the things that we want to talk about tonight is there are three basic parts to prophecy. There are three basic parts. And I don't know if we have that slide, three basic parts to prophecy. Oh, okay. All right, no problem. The three basic parts of prophecy, the first one is revelation. Revelation is the first part to basic prophecy. Revelation. That means getting the information from God. Okay, so when God gives you a revelation, you want to be sure that you hear it from your heart and not from your head. You want that message that God is giving you to come from your heart. So you'll hear it down in here or you'll hear it down in your spirit, the word that God is giving you. You'll hear it from your heart. You don't want to give something that you hear in your head, okay? Something intellectual. You want to hear from the heart, okay? Number two is interpretation. Now, the interpretation, the part of interpretation, is understanding the revelation that you've been given. So you want to ask God to help you to understand what it is that he's just showed you. What does that mean? What do I do with that? How do I understand that? Okay, that's the interpretation. And then the last basic part is the delivery. The delivery is, how do I deliver this word? that God has gave me. In other words, how do I say it? What do I say to this person? You don't want to put the person down or anything like that. So how do I say what God has given me? Again, I'm going to refer back to the Graham Cook meeting that we had here at Church on the North Coast. I was standing on the second row, and there was a young man that was on the first row, and he turned around and he looked at me and gave me a prophecy. And so this was during the break whenever we were asked to do that. And this young man said he saw me. How many remember The Green Mile? Anybody remember that movie, The Green Mile? Okay. There was a gentleman on there named Michael Clark Duncan. He was a black guy. He's about 6'5", weighed about 300 pounds, real muscular. And so this guy, he didn't say this to me, but he just said, "I see you as a gentle giant." And he said, "I see you blessing people. I see you going the extra mile. I see that God has given you a ministry of compassion," or something like that, he said. And I mean, it blew me away because I didn't know what to say. So after the meeting was over, I went to him and I said, "How did you receive what you gave me?" And he said, "Well, I was standing there and God showed me a picture of this gentleman, Michael Clark Duncan. He showed me a picture of him and he showed me this mile, this green mile. It was real long. And he said, and I saw that this man, if you remember in the movie, he was a man that they were going to kill, but he had compassion and he healed this guy. Remember, this spirit came on him and he touched this man and he healed him. And he was a gentle person. And so he said, "I saw that. And then I asked God what it meant. And then God said for me to share what I share with you." I said, "Wow, that's awesome, man." So what he did was he first received the revelation, and then I'm sure that he asked God to give him an understanding of what the revelation meant. And I just used myself because I couldn't think of anybody else to use. And then he delivered it to me. Okay, and so the first example we gave is that when God gives us a negative, when God gives us a negative, according to our teaching, when God gives us a negative, it's not for the person, it's for you. It's for you. The negative is for you. The negative that God gives you about a person is to show you what that person is going through, the areas in their life that are being attacked by the enemy, the pain, the suffering, the heartache, the imprisonment that they're going through. God is showing that to you so that you can speak a word to them and help them to have a breakthrough. Praise God. So the word that God gives to us, if it's a negative word, it's not for us. I mean, it's not for them, it's for us. It's for us to be a blessing to them, because we always want to do this in prophecy. We want to edify, exhort, and speak words of comfort. Amen. There are so many people hurting right now. And the Bible wants, it wants all of us to prophesy. Everybody to prophesy. Now, let's look at some scriptures here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 1 through 3. If we didn't read that, did we read that yet? 1 through 3? Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and verse 5. And I'm reading from the King James Version. I had the scriptures in the New King James, but we're just reading from my Bible, okay? First Corinthians 14 and 5 says, "I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." So the greater gift of the gifts that say something, there are 9 gifts. 3 of those gifts say something, 3 of them do something, and 3 of them reveal something. And the prophecy gift is a gift that says something. It speaks. Now, the prophecy is a greater gift than speaking in tongues, because you need two gifts, speaking in tongues and interpretation, to understand what's going on. Prophecy is a divine utterance in a known tongue. Speaking in tongues is a divine revelation in an unknown tongue, and you need an interpretation to bring out what was said. And not only that, speaking in tongues edifies the person, it edifies us. But prophecy will edify the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24 and 25 says, but if all prophesy, let's start at verse 22. It says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophecy serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say they are all mad? But if we prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all and is judged of all. And thus the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So prophecy will cause those that hear to know that God is dwelling in us. And he's in this place, right? That he's in the place, and you're speaking a word that you don't know. It's a supernatural manifestation of a word that you don't know about. But God is doing that to us. And the church needs to operate in that more and more every day. I believe that one of the reasons that we have a lot of witchcraft and divination, palm reading, all that stuff is because the church isn't standing up and doing what they should be doing, speaking a word into people's lives, and the gifts of the Spirit are not operating fully like they should be. They are operating, but not like they should be. So we want to just take this in tonight. Now, another thing I want to say is this is just a basic foundation. There are going to be some that come after us, and they're going to really have things that's going to bring you into a deeper understanding, a deeper knowledge of what the prophetic is all about. I'd also like to read verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 31 says, for we may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. So this scripture is saying that everybody, all of us, should prophesy. Everyone should prophesy. Everybody can speak an encouraging word. It's almost like having the gift of encouragement. We can edify someone. We can lift them up. We can speak life and not death. We can speak blessings and not cursing. And that's what we should do in the body of Christ. Amen. And then number 30, verse 39 of the same chapter, it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. So we should desire to prophesy. We should desire the prophetic. I want to share a little bit more with you because my wife is going to be coming here real soon. And she has some other information she'd like to share. There are different levels of prophecy, different levels. The first one is all believers prophesy. So we just read that in verse 31, that everybody should prophesy, right? Everybody can encourage, everybody can edify, everybody can comfort, give words of comfort. The second one is that the gift of prophecy, that's the gift of prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy, speak for education, exhortation, edification, and comfort. And then the last one is the office of the prophet, the office of the prophet. Now, if you remember earlier, I said that we should not give directional words. Well, that's the job of the prophet. The prophet gives direction and correction. So that's an office. That's one of the fivefold ministry gifts, the office of the prophet. He's the one that does that. I just want to say to you today that we are here in the body of Christ to encourage and to lift each other up. There's so many people coming to church and they are hurting. They've gone through situations and circumstances. They've been hurt. Maybe some come from another church and they've been hurt. Some may have had a life that may have lived a life that they were hurt. So we want to always encourage. We heard Pastor Troy talk about the father and the son. They were cursing each other. That's not a way to talk to your children, is it? That relationship should never happen. We should build them up and lift them up. And we should always be able and be willing to say something that's good to someone, to build them up. I think that prophecy is probably one of the most powerful of all the gifts. Naturally, they all are good. The gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, all of that. But prophecy gives all of us an opportunity to speak something positive into someone's life. So at this time, we're going to ask that you would receive my wife, Sister Karen, and she's going to come and give us some more information concerning this topic.
Hi, everybody. You know, as Pastor C was talking, I said, you know, when we study for the midnight teachings, we don't necessarily look at each other's notes. So when he got up and he was reading off all the scriptures that I had, it was like, oh, man. But I do have something else that I would like to add to what he's already said. Now, being one that taught children Sunday school for 20 years, and I know I've mentioned this before, I have this sort of mind that works where you break it down to them, but you kind of maybe give them information that they hadn't really thought of. And so that's basically all I have tonight, because Pastor Clarence went over the scriptures that I had already. There were major and minor prophets. We're speaking of the office of the prophet. We're all called to prophesy, but there is a gift of the office of the prophet where we as believers are called to prophesy. But the office of the prophet is a gift to the church. And there were, in the Old Testament, 16 prophets. The major prophets were 4, and then you have 12 of the minor prophets. Major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Minor prophets were Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Now, the office of the prophet, they weren't so popular because they would speak things that maybe people didn't want to accept. 6 of these prophets, there were 23 of them that were mentioned in the Old Testament, were 6 of them were martyred. They were killed for what they said. So the prophet or the office of the prophet, they weren't so popular. But we, as the body of believers, are called to prophesy. That's a different genre. And as Pastor Clarence said, that going back to what prophecy is in the New Testament, once Jesus came, edification, which is improvement, elevation, instruction, that's to build up, exhortation, encouragement, advice, incitement is to call near. And comfort, which is relief, security, and well-being, or consolation, is to cheer up. So, as has already been said, we can all speak prophecy or prophetic word to those in the body of Christ. I want to take us to, this is something that that he didn't mention, because he mentioned a lot of what I had. I'm going to take us to a familiar passage of the Old Testament, which is 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. I'm going to ask for that in the New Living Translation. 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. So it says, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." Now, in the passages before that, it explains how the armies, the enemies of Judah were coming against them, and there was a whole lot of them. And the people were afraid, and the king was afraid. And in 2 Chronicles 20, 13, and 14, do we have that? "As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph." I thought this was a particularly interesting passage of scripture here because Jehaziel, which means beheld by God, that's watched by God, seen by God, observed by God. Jehaziel wasn't some king. He wasn't a leader even. He just was a common person, which kind of lets me know that we, in the body of Christ, we don't have to be pastors. We don't have to be the doorkeeper, ushers, or the greeters. We don't even have to have a particular ministry in a church. But because we are all called to prophesy, I've heard that there should come a time when a sister or a brother in the church who hasn't got any title, because titles don't mean anything really, because God loves us all the same. He doesn't love the pastor more than he loves Sister Pat. He loves us all the same. But we are called to prophesy, all of us. And with these giftings that the Holy Spirit, and it's just the one Spirit working in all and through all, will allow us to be able to prophesy, to lay hands on the sick. You, in the marketplace, in the grocery store, that you should be able to go up to someone that you know is hurting, that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you that that person is hurting, and you give them a prophetic word. Encouragement, edification, comfort, consolation, and lay your hand on them and they be healed. The day of the mega star in the church is over. God wants to work through the body. So Jehaziel, he didn't have a title or an office. Well, he was a priest. Actually, he was one of the musicians. One of the passages of scripture talks about him. In 1 Chronicles 16 and 6, it mentions the priest Benaiah and Jehaziel, which was him, played the trumpet regularly before the ark of God's covenant. So here you have just someone that doesn't really have a title, but the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them and they speak a prophetic word. This is what Jehaziel said. In 2 Chronicles 20, 15 through 17, he said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." How often have we heard that particular passage of scripture? Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. So here's Jahaziel standing in the midst of his people who are shaking in their knees because of the armies coming against them, and he is giving a prophetic word. He's giving encouragement. He's giving edification, and he's giving them comfort. And this is what we are all called to do in the body of Christ. So tonight, I just want to encourage each and every one of us. You don't have to operate in the office of the prophet, even though you do have those that do that. But we as believers are all called to prophesy. And as Pastor Clarence mentioned, that when the Lord shows you something that is negative in a person's life or reveals to you through the Holy Spirit, and it's all through the Holy Spirit, we have to operate. None of these gifts operate well but by love. I can't seem to get away from that. All the gifts must operate by love, or else you're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It has to operate in love. So you don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to say words that will tear down. You want to say words of comfort that build up and edify and encourage. So tonight, we're going to end here.
Yes, first of all, we just want to thank you for being here tonight and to be able to hear what the Lord just said, the Lord. And we thank God also for this opportunity again. And we just want to pray tonight. We also have ministers here that can come up to the altar if you need prayer for anything, maybe for the healing of your body or for any sickness or anything that's going on in your life. We have ministers here to pray, and we just want you to know that God loves you, and he has the best design for us. He loves us. He's proven his love for us. Every one of you, every person in here, you are so important to God. Everybody in here has a different DNA, different fingerprints. The Bible says even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So we're special in the eyes of the Lord. He wants the best for us. Amen. So at this time, would you please stand? And we just want to pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this great opportunity tonight to be a blessing to those that are here and to be blessed by the words that we hear. Father, we thank you for the teaching that we've been given to share with the people of God. We thank you for this ministry, Lord, and how that the Lord is directing our pastors to take us in the way that he would have us to go, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you've given us an awesome, awesome training. You've given us words of comfort, and you've given us words to edify us and to build us up in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the prophetic gifts tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we glorify your name. We give you all the glory and praise tonight because you are the, without you, we could do nothing. We thank you tonight, Lord, for every person present in this room tonight. And we ask you to increase them more and more. Father, we ask you to fill them with your power and your love. Give them the wisdom of God, give them the peace of God that passes all understanding. And Father, we thank you tonight that as we grow deeper and deeper in you, we ask you to use our heart and use our minds, use our eyes and our ears, Father, that we might speak life into the people that we run into in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you let your light shine through us. Let your light shine through us that men may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. We thank you, Father, for sending your son Jesus to die for our sins. Father, we praise you tonight that we have the opportunity in this country to come into a place of God, a house of God, and be able to lift you up and to praise you and to give you glory. We thank you for the word of God tonight that abides in our hearts, Father, in our soul, in the name of Jesus. Everybody doesn't have this opportunity to come and to be blessed and to come and to hear the word of God and to come and receive what you have for us in Jesus' name. And Father, we praise you tonight that all things that you do, Father, we know that everything that you do is for our good. The Bible says that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. And Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you again for your grace and for your mercy. We love you, Lord. We love you. We worship you. We adore you. We thank you. And we glorify your name tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone here, as I said before, that needs prayer, please feel free to come up tonight. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. God bless you.